Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Since the Russian invasion of Ukraine began, we've witnessed the fastest growing refugee crisis in Europe since World War II. In just over a month, over 4 million people have left the country and many more have been displaced internally. Well, my next guest says that with this mass movement of people, Europe has rediscovered compassion for refugees, but only if they're white. He's been taking a close look at this refugee bias and he joins me on the line now. Daniel Howden, Managing Director of Lighthouse Reports, an investigative non-profit newsroom covering migration, corruption and conflict. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. So you say a two-tier refugee system is being established in Europe. You've been investigating and writing about this for a number of newspapers.
I think the most stark example that we've had was at the border exiting Ukraine, where in multiple instances, people were literally segregated according to their race. And even within that, there were hierarchies. So you had Ukrainians in one queue, and then you had another queue in which people were then sorted according to whether they came from India, and basically with black Africans at the back of the queue. And when this was happening, because the number of people exiting Ukraine day by day now, of course, is lower than it was, in the first weeks of the refugee exodus, when this was happening, this was the difference between being able to cross inside a day or two and being stuck at the border sometimes for multiple days. So that's the most direct and obvious symptom. You're not allowed onto an evacuation train, even though the evacuation trains were for women and children because you're black. In one of the examples that really struck us as we were reporting it, we managed to trace university students from Ukraine who came from other parts of the world. Ukraine had a big, like many countries, like Ireland, like the UK, had a large number of foreign students. Well, we traced foreign students from Cameroon and Nigeria who were studying at university in Ukraine, and when they fled across the border into Poland, have been put into immigration detention. So they've actually been locked up while at the same time their classmates, their Ukrainian classmates from the same universities, are being given free places and sponsored and bursaries to go and study in universities all over the world.
It's extraordinary. And I know what I want to point out, that you're not trying to diminish the work of volunteers or aid groups helping Ukrainians or take away from the desperate situation that they're facing, but you want to make people aware that this is happening.
Well, one of the stories that we did while we were in Poland, I spent some time with a Polish family who are hosting Ukrainians near the border with Ukraine. It's a Polish couple. They spent a large part of their adult life actually working in Ireland, and I believe may have spoken to some of your colleagues, Marina and her husband, Maciej. They are rightly feted as heroes. They're doing amazing stuff. They've crossed over the border and set up a field hospital on the other side. Their house is stuffed to the rafters with international volunteers and Ukrainian refugees. They're great people, and what they're doing is deserves all of the praise and credit that it gets. But there isn't such a huge difference between what Martina is doing and what another Polish mum, almost the same age as her, is doing at a border 8 hours north of there. And so we went and stayed with the second family, whose real name I can't give to you. We called her Dorota. Mm-hmm. And Dorota and her family are doing, in their minds, exactly the same thing. They're hosting refugees who are crossing the border out of Belarus. So people who are coming from conflicts like Syria and Yemen, coming from war-torn areas like Iraq. But on that border, for her to do exactly the same thing is criminalized. And her house she can't run it like a guest house in the way that Martina can. It's actually a safe house. And she has to hide the people who she puts up. And now, when I spoke to them, both of them acknowledged each other and each other's work, and they don't see an important difference between what they're doing. They are two Polish women, roughly the same age, very similar families, very similar motives for doing this in the first place. And yet, at the one border, the people who are crossing are seen as essentially weapons in a hybrid war against Europe. And at the other border, they're welcome to cross. And obviously, the underlying message, I mean, my own personal feelings on this is that the way in which Ukrainians are being received is completely right and proper. It's just we can't welcome that while ignoring another reality which has such a big impact on people's lives.
Well, one of those women you mentioned is Marina Szczesny-Dawili-Pitrowska, and Daniel, you spoke to Marina as part of your report in the London Independent, as you described there. Marina's on the line now. Marina, you're very welcome. You spent a number of years living in Ennis in County Clare.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did. Hi, Claire. Hi, Daniel.
And then you moved. You returned to Poland. You set up a guest house, but you have converted that guest house now into a refugee shelter.
Well, for the first 2 weeks, we did have a refugee shelter. At the moment, I gave my house to enormous. I gave it to volunteers who are helping us. We've taken some loads to Ukraine and so on. So we're not taking refugees anymore, but we are still helping.
You've met some incredible people, I know, including
one
man who I'd love you to tell us about. He'd never been more than 20 kilometres from his home in Ukraine, Marina.
Yes, it's a striking story. It's an older man, I guess, in his 80s, I'd say so, from some small village in Ukraine, and he never ever been farther than 20 kilometers from his house. So when the war started, he took his daughter, he took his grandchildren, and brought them all the way from his village to our village. You know, it was like a 3 days journey. And he stayed a night at our house, and then he just made sure that his daughter and grandchildren are safe, and he got back because he told me that he just wants to get back. He has his home there, he has animals there in his village, so he got back.
He drove straight back there. And you were listening to Daniel there talking about the situation facing other refugees from other countries, and the difference that exists between how people are being treated. Had you heard mm-hmm. about this? Were you aware of it?
Yes, sure. Yeah, well, we are totally aware of that situation on Belarusian borders for the last 8 months, I think. And, you know, it was kind of far away from us, let's say. The only one way we could help, we could send some money. We did this. And now they're in a pretty the same situation. And as I told Daniel in the interview, that actually this is just now I started to understand what are these people are coming through.
Yes.
So, yes, it's heartbreaking. I'm thinking about this all the time. Like, until now, I believe Poland accepted around 2 million of refugees from Ukraine. So, and we are managing well. It's working. So I don't really understand why can't we accept a little bit more people from the Belarusian border? It's just the same story, to be
And Daniel, the question then, it would appear, is being asked is who is more deserving? And that's not something that should ever be considered in a situation like this.
Well, I put that question to Martina's counterpart. And by the way, it's very nice to be on the line with her and to hear her. I put that to Martina's counterpart, Dorota, and the answer that she gave her husband when she was pushing for them to take this step and to help people there was that we don't necessarily have the right to choose who we help. If we can help, we should. And that's a very big-hearted thing to do, and it's not something that everybody can do. So there's one last thing that I'd like people to consider, which is the way that this is received through the rest of the world, the way that the war in Ukraine is perceived even across many countries in Africa and across India, for instance. The war comes across in a completely different way, because what's perceived to be xenophobia and racism in Europe's response to refugees actually ends up damaging Europe's reputation, which is a shame because, I mean, no one should try to build up Putin's reputation on the basis of this, because his is an incredibly racist and xenophobic regime. So unfortunately, it's a bit of a strategic own goal for Europeans. It's not just a human question. Obviously, it is a human question, but it's also a strategic one. Europe opens itself up to the accusation of racism, and obviously not all Europeans are racist, but the idea that we can have one model crisis in which we respond in exactly the right way and then we can forget about the fate of everybody else, it's unfortunately, it's a human mistake, but it's also a strategic one.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining us today. Marina Sesta-Szewili-Pitsrowska in Poland and Daniel Howden, who's Managing Director of Lighthouse Reports. We'll be back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.